Bibles, if you could turn to Psalm 139 tonight. Psalm 139, we'll be continuing in our series, Divinely Designed. And so far in this series, we have talked about we are designed for a purpose. That our purpose as believers, purpose as human beings, we are created to worship God, but also we are created to enjoy God. And then 2 weeks ago, we saw that we can be content with how God designed us. And Psalm 139 is a classic passage on God's design, and it talks about who God is. It reveals God's thoughts towards us. There's a verse that's very well known in the middle. It says, "For I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." And today we're going to see who God is. It reveals a lot about His thoughts towards us. We're going to consider some of God's thoughts towards us tonight. So we're going to start out this evening by reading Psalm 139, verses 1 through 6. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising, Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Father, as we come to You tonight, we just ask that You would give us wisdom as we look at Your Word. You'd give us understanding. I do pray that You would help our souls even now to be still, that we not allow the distractions around us to take our focus off of You, that we would find our peace in You and You alone. And Lord, I pray that You'd give me confidence and clarity as I preach. I pray that Your Word would be rightly divided and it would be proclaimed and that responses would be made. I pray that You'd help us to be soft to Your Word, that we would not harden our hearts. And Lord, I pray that You'd be glorified through this evening's service in Christ's name. Amen. So have you guys ever been, like, busted? No, like, you know you're not supposed to do something, and you do it anyway. So, like, usually this happens with your parents. They tell you not to do something, and you're, like, in a room, you're doing it, and all of a sudden they come around the corner, and they see you. What's your response at that moment? You're just like, you got nothing to say, right? You just have this like awkward stare in your face. Like, hey mom, hey dad. And you're like, catch your red-handed. You are busted. They know what's going on. Now my daughter Elena, she's like really into playing in the toilet right now. I have no clue why. Like, we'll catch her like putting her hands in the toilet and like splashing water in her face. And we're like, what are you doing? So we've got to lock the doors. So a couple weeks ago, I was here at church, and my wife was getting the kids ready to come to Sunday evening service, and she couldn't find Elena. So she's looking around the house, and she finally finds her. She's in the bathroom, and this time not only is she putting her hands in the toilet, but she's got her hands behind her back, and her whole head is in the toilet. So there is water all over her hair, and I can just imagine her face when my wife walked in. Oh, like hair all down her face, and she's just like, she is busted. She knows she's not supposed to do that. She got caught red-handed, and I'm sure she made this face, uh-oh. Like, she says it all the time, uh-oh. Like, she got busted. And as we just read through Psalm 139, the first six verses, something that we ought to realize is that we are all busted. God knows everything that we do. And when we have that busted feeling in real life, someone comes around the corner and catches us doing something we know we're not supposed to do. You know that feeling when your stomach just drops? And God says He sees and knows everything that we do. He knows everything about you. It says in verses 1 and 2 that He knows your thoughts. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Guys, God knows every single thought you've ever had. Whoa, we're busted. Because a lot of times we have all these thoughts that aren't glorifying to God, and I don't really want people knowing what's going on up here. I don't want people to know what's going on in my brain. I hide it a lot of times. I don't want people to know that I've actually asked the question, why doesn't the fattest guy in the world just become a hockey goalie? Right? Like, I have all kinds of those weird thoughts like that. A lot of times we don't want people to know what's going on in our minds. And a lot of times we have weird thoughts like that, but if you were to be honest, a lot of times we would be scared if people found out what we were thinking. If people saw all of our angry thoughts, if people saw all of our impure thoughts, We don't want people to see our discouraged thoughts. We don't want to see this, them to see the seething anger that every time we look at them, we can't stand their face. So we hide it. But guys, God knows each and every one of those thoughts. God sees them. He knows what's going on in your heart. But also, He hears everything that comes out of our mouths. Let's reread verses 3 and 4, because He knows everything that you say. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Guys, He hears even those words that you mutter under your breath that you think no one else hears. When you're mad at your mom and dad, when you're making fun of someone in school, when you're cursing underneath your breath, God hears them. Whoa. Scary, scary thoughts. God knows everything. So how does that make you feel? Does that make you feel trapped? Have you ever felt like somebody's just like following you and they're like right at your heels like all the time? And you're just like, dude, like back off. Give me some space. Leave me alone. Like just, you're always right there. Is that how God makes you feel? Do you feel trapped knowing that God knows everything that you think, everything you've ever said? Does that make you feel trapped? Because you know you're busted. There was one day when I came home from work, and I don't know what it was, but my kids were especially clingy that day. And like all they wanted to do was for me to hold them. And so I love my kids, but at one point they were literally, and this is like in movies, you see this all the time, they were grabbing my legs, and I was like dragging them around the house. They would not let go of me. And as much as I love my kids, I was like, just back off. Like, give me a second. Like, let me go to the bathroom without you following me in there, right? Like, it's all those weird things. And so often we can feel trapped because we're like, just back off. Is that your spirit towards God? He knows everything we think. He knows everything I've ever said. Do we just think in our minds, back off. You're right there. Give me some space. We try to push God out of our lives. Do you feel that way toward God? So what is our typical response when you don't want someone to find something out about you and they find it out? What's our automatic response? What do we typically do? We try to hide. We try to run away. We try to cover it up. And you know what we learn in the next few verses? God knows everything about you at all times. So in other words, guys, you cannot hide from God. There's nothing that you can do. Let's read verses 7 and forward. Psalm 139, starting in verse 7. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? You know everything about me. Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. It's like one of those movies where there's a fugitive, right? He's escaping from jail. And people don't escape jail in a day, do they? They always wait till night. Why? Because it's easier to hide things in darkness. When we do something we're ashamed of, we know we're not supposed to do, we try to hide it. We try to cover it up. So let's just say this fugitive escapes. He puts his jacket over the barbed wire fence. The alarms are going off. He hears dogs barking. The alarm is sounding. And he gets over that fence. He runs into the woods. And he finally gets into the woods. And he's like, I made it. They didn't catch me. Nothing's going on. He still hears the sirens. But all of a sudden, that big spotlight turns on. And it's right in his face. He's getting blinded by the spotlight. Then helicopters start to surround him. The dogs start to come up to him. And then all of a sudden, he hears all these guns going, shh. He's caught. There's nowhere he can go. He cannot hide what he thought he'd been hiding. He thought he was hidden, but all of a sudden a spotlight is shown on where he is. Guys, there is no hiding. We deceive ourselves into thinking that God does not see what's going on in our hearts and in our minds. We cannot hide it. Everything is on full display to God. He takes that spotlight and he shines it right to who you truly are. And he sees everything. And we want to hide. We don't want God to know what's going on in our minds, and we deceive ourselves that we can keep it hidden. So when was the last time you did something, and as soon as you did it, you were immediately coming up with this plan of how you can cover it up? Maybe you get caught, and immediately you start putting your plan into action. You start hiding it. Hey, this is the excuse. This is what happened. All these things. And you start, we can get very creative when it comes to sinning, can't we? All these ways that we hide this up. And you know that feeling. You just think in your mind, you know what? No one can ever know about this. If they know what I just did, if they know what I just thought, they're going to hate me. And we start to hide all of these things, but guys, God already knows. God saw it. He heard it. He knows where it came from. He's shining a spotlight on your heart. And so often we put on this mask of what we want other people to see. We have this mask that we wear at home. We have this mask that we wear at church. We have this mask we wear at school. And we're three different people. And guys, you do not have a mask thick enough or big enough or disguise good enough to hide what's going on in your heart from God. I don't either. We cannot go anywhere without God knowing what's going on in our hearts. God knows everything about us at all times, but also he switches gears here a little bit in Psalm 139. God knows your design. He made you. He knows every part about you mentally. He knows your thoughts. He knows what you say. He knows what's in your heart. He knows every part about you physically. He knows your hurts. He knows your pains because he's the designer. And guys, you may feel like God is a million miles away tonight. Does God even care? Does God know what's going on? Does God even know what's going on in my heart? And you may feel like God wants nothing to do with you. Or maybe at the very least you think, you know what, God knows what's going on. He's just ignoring me. But you know what the Bible tells us right here in verse 13? God has personally been involved in your life since before you were born. Let's read verse 13. Tells us that God's personally been involved in our life before we're even born. Verse 13 through 15. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Thou formed me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Verse 15. My substance was not hid from thee. When I was made in secret, no one else could see, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Guys, God designed you. He fashioned you. Everything about you is the way that God wanted it to be. The way you look, the way you sound, the family you were born into, the country you live in, everything about you, God has designed it. God knows. And guys, his thoughts towards you are all encompassing. He knows everything. You cannot hide anything from him. But as you know, as you probably know, I like building furniture, one of my hobbies. So, again, I have one of those weird thoughts pretty much, and I've actually said this to my wife, when I build something, I look at it and like, you know what? This is kind of weird to think about, but I have touched every single piece of wood on that piece of furniture. I've touched every single screw. I've touched every single piece of glue that's been on that furniture, and I know that piece of furniture inside and outside. I mean, every single part of it, I designed it, I made it, I built it. And so often, my wife doesn't do this very much, but I've had people do this before. They come, I'm like excited to show off a piece of furniture that I built. Like, hey, check this out. And they're like, yeah, did you notice that you messed up right there? And I'm like, come on. I mean, all of this, and you notice that one tiny little spot. And I get like really upset. But so often that's what we do with God, isn't it? Like, God, you made a mistake. What are you doing? I mean, he wonderfully and fearfully made us. We work, if you just think about our eyes, our brain, our skin, all of those things, they work so perfectly. And God shows his wisdom. But so often we want to point out those things that are messed up. But guys, God is not surprised about anything about you. It wasn't a mistake. God knows every single part of his design and forming of you. And you know what? He knows all these things about us, and God has a plan for your life. Verse 16. God knows what's going on. He says in verse 16, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, was talking about being in the womb, still forming, he wasn't complete. And in thy book, all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. He wrote down his plans for us in a book. He knows everything about us. He has a plan for us. He made you purposefully. You are you because God made you that way. So we talked about that a lot last week. But our usual response to someone knowing everything about us is to try to hide stuff, right? There's certain things we don't want people to know. But is this how David responds? He's writing this whole thing, God, you know everything about me. You know, you knew everything about me before I was even born. You wrote it in a book. You have a plan for my life. Look back at verse 6. What does David say? He says, you knew everything about me, and such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. So guys, if there is one thing I want you to leave with here tonight, one thought, it is this. Guys, God is on your side. God's on your side. So often as believers, as teenagers, we think, you know what, God's just waiting for an opportunity to punish me. God's just waiting for an opportunity to bring something bad into my life. But how do I know that God is on my side according to Psalm 139? Let's read in verse 17 and 18. Here's David's response. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Guys, God thinks precious thoughts towards you. You are valuable to God. And it is awesome to know that someone is thinking about you, isn't it? I mean, if Jessica sends me a text, hey, I'm thinking about you, I'm praying about you, makes me feel great. When we were dating, when we were engaged, and she wrote me a letter, and I'd get it in night mail, or I find it on the counter, it makes me feel really good and loved because someone is thinking about me. Hey, I'm just thinking about you. I'm praying about you, praying for you. They took time to write something. But guys, God has precious thoughts towards you. Do you believe that God thinks those precious thoughts to you? Do you truly believe it? Because guys, you're going to have big problems if you don't believe that. If you think God's not on your side, that he's against you, because in the midst of your sin, when you are struggling, do you believe that God still thinks good thoughts about you? Or is everything in your mind kind of tied to your performance? Guys, let's think about who's writing this psalm. David. This is the same David who'd committed adultery. He'd impregnated a woman who was not his wife. So then what he did is he went out and murdered her husband. This is the same guy after this happened. And so often as Christians, we're like, you know what, I messed up. God is not thinking good thoughts towards me. And still, what David did is he welcomed God's presence and knew that God was thinking good thoughts towards him. Hey, I messed up. But God, your thoughts towards me are so precious. They're uncountable. They're innumerable. They could not be counted. So guys, do you believe that about God? Or do you believe the opposite? That God wants to punish you. That he wants to crush you. That he wants to cast you as far away from him as he can. That, hey, you sinned, you've messed up, you're filthy, I want nothing to do with you anymore. Is that your view of God? God does not view you that way. He has precious thoughts because you know what the Bible tells me? The Bible tells me that it pleased God the Father to bruise Jesus Christ, to crush him for me. It says that his soul was made a sacrifice for me. Talk about precious thoughts. Guys, God values you. You are precious to God. Jesus was crushed so you didn't have to be. The Bible tells me that he did not cast me away. He doesn't send me away because of my sin. But he tells me if I repent, if I turn from my sin, that he's going to cast my sin as far as the east is from the west from me. That's how far he separates me from my transgressions. Talk about a precious thought. But so often we think that God holds those things against us. And David had lived through these things and he still was welcoming God's presence. He was not hiding from God. He was saying, God, please be present with me. Guys, God has precious thoughts to you. But do you know what's going to happen if you don't believe that truth? If you believe that God is out to punish you, if you believe that God is out to crush you, that he's there to squash you like a bug, let's look right up here, no turning around. Do you know what's going to happen? You're going to hide from God. That's our natural response. When Adam and Eve were caught in their sin, what did they do? They hid. And that's what we do. If we believe that God is out to punish us and crush us, we are going to hide from him and we're not going to spend time in his word. Our sin is going to drive us away from God, the Bible, because we do not want to be convicted of our sin and we think we're trying to hide. Hey, as long as I'm not reading God's word, I'm not going to be convicted. God sees everything. And he has precious thoughts to you.
So guys, are you running from God tonight? Because there are so many times when we think that God is not on our side, that he doesn't want what's best for us, that his thoughts for us are the opposite of that, that he wants to punish us, he wants to hurt us. But are you running from God? As Christians, you know what we struggle with? We struggle with thinking that God's view of me changes based on my performance. And I struggle with this. Let me put this into real life. Let's just say one morning I get up early. And I have a great day. I mean, I get up early. I spend time with God. I spend time in his word. I'm reading the Bible. I leave the house. I'm happy. I'm joyful. I go to work. I've got breakfast. I'm full. I had a cup of coffee. Life's good. I go to work. Everything's fine. Temptations come throughout the day, and I resist every one of them. Everything goes well at work. There's no problems. I come home, and I open that door, and both my kids are happy. They're like, hey, Daddy, I love you. Everything's great, right? And they come running to me. They hug me. They give me kisses. My wife comes up to me, and she, like, gives me a kiss. And it's like a Leave It to Beaver moment. A lot of you probably don't even know what Leave It to Beaver is. It's like an old TV show. But it's like one of those, like, classic, like, families. Everything's perfect. Life's good. So I go to sleep that night, and I'm like, you know what? God's on my side. God thinks good about me right now. So then the very next day I get up, but I overslept. Day's already off to a rough start. I don't get a shower. I don't get a cup of coffee. I'm rushing out of the house. I'm late to work. I get to work. All these problems come up. I don't get a lot of work done. I'm distracted. People keep calling me. All these things keep happening, and nothing's going well. And then temptations come, and I give in one after the other because I am just irritated. I mean, everything is bothering me. So then I come home, and this time, things didn't go well at home that day. Instead of being greeted with smiles from my kids, they're angrily throwing toys at me because they're throwing a fit. And then my wife has been dealing with these kids all day, so she forgets to give me a kiss. Dinner's a battle. They're throwing food at me. And that's just Jessica. It's not even the kids, right? She's just throwing food at me. We put them to bed. It's a battle all night. And I go to bed that night, and I'm thinking, you know what? God is not on my side. What did I do? Why is God punishing me all day? And we struggle with that. Why does God think differently of me? Why does God think so differently about me today than yesterday? What happened? What did I do? But guys, in all of those situations, I would be having the wrong view of God if I lived my life that way. His thoughts towards me do not change based on my performance. Nothing I do is going to earn me better favor in God's sight. I am acceptable to God only because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. That's it. That's the only way I can gain favor. And guys, that's never going to change. If you have trusted Christ, you are a child of God, and you are always going to be his child. He's not going to view you any differently, and he has precious thoughts towards you. He has the same thoughts towards you on your worst day as he does on your best day. He loves you. He sent his son to die for you. But you may be here tonight, and you're doing the natural thing. You are hiding from God. You think you're hiding all these sins from him. You think you're hiding him from other people, and you've got this mask on. And your thought about standing before a righteous, holy God frightens you. And it should. Why? Because God knows your thoughts. He knows your words. He knows everything. You can't hide it from him. So there's bad news for you. The Bible tells us that the wages, what we earn for our sin, is death. And God knows everything about us. He knows that we're all sinners, all of us. He knows what you've done. You can't hide that from him. But you know what? Even if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, his thoughts towards you are still precious. How do I know that? The Bible tells me that. He says that while we are yet sinners, Christ commended or showed his love towards us, that Christ died for us. He took our place. He took that punishment, that wage that we deserved because of our sin. And you cannot hide your sin from God. You've earned judgment. So here we're kind of in that limbo. That's bad news, Pastor Brandon. What's the good news? Jesus Christ died for you. He took your place, and his thoughts are still precious towards you. The Bible tells us that if we trust in Jesus Christ, we can have forgiveness and life. So if you're here tonight and you're like, you know what? All I do is hide from God. I don't want them to know anything about me. But you know what? God's word tonight has shown me that I can't hide that. You've got a choice to make. You've got two choices. And John 3:36 makes those choices very, very clear. He says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." You will spend eternity with God in heaven. Here's the other choice. "And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." And you'll have to face that wrath and pay for your sins for eternity. But guys, Jesus Christ, his thoughts towards you are precious, and he died for you. You don't have to pay for them. So I'm going to ask everybody quickly to bow their heads, close their eyes. We're not done, so don't put your stuff away. I'm doing this a little bit out of order, but if you're not saved here tonight, there's no reason to really listen to anything else I'm going to say. Because the first thing you've got to do is you've got to trust Christ as your Savior. Maybe you're here tonight and you realize, you know what? I never thought about it before. God sees everything. He sees my heart. He sees my sin. And I am a sinner. I need grace. I'm going to give you a chance right now. Everybody's heads bowed, eyes closed. If that's you and you want to talk to somebody and get that right with God, and you want to make that choice so that forever you can live with God, I'm going to ask you to get up now, go to the back, go out into the lobby. Youth staff member will follow you. But there's no reason to listen to anything else unless you get that right. You will never change, you'll never grow unless you're saved. Have you realized that you are a sinner and you need God's grace? Guys, that invitation is now. No one's looking around. We're not going to embarrass you. I want to give you a chance to respond. I could sense the Holy Spirit working, so I kind of paused in the middle. I'll give you a couple more seconds before I talk to believers. All right, you could all look back up. I'm going to talk to believers now. What should our response to this be? Everybody look over here. I'm seeing a couple people being distracted. This is God's word, okay? Let's listen closely. Believers, we have got to stop hiding from God. We think we're covering things up, but Proverbs 28:13 says this, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh shall have mercy." Are you hiding from God tonight? Let's think about this in light of David's life and testimony. His life was a mess. If you think about it from an earthly standpoint, he messed up big time. Adultery, murder. But even despite of that, he still realized that God's thoughts were precious towards him. So believers, there's something you've got to get right and confess, because you're going to have mercy. God's thoughts towards you are precious. At the end of this chapter, look at verses 23 and 24. This is David's response. Our natural response is to hide, to say, "Don't look at me, don't look at my heart." But what does he say? "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting." Is that your desire tonight? God, I've been hiding from you. I've been trying to cover things up. But you've shown me that I'm not going to prosper. David welcomed God. He was not hiding from God anymore. He was done with it. God, know my heart and guide me in the way of everlasting. Guys, if you do not get that truth, allow that to sink in, that God's thoughts towards you are precious, you're going to run from God. But if you believe it, it's going to enable you to run to him, even though you've sinned. Even though you're not perfect, God wants to do great things with you, but you've got to stop hiding. You've got to get over yourself, got to get over your pride, got to get over your arrogance, and be willing to humble yourself and submit. Because guys, the only view of you that matters is how God views you. No mask is thick enough. When we looked at our house to buy our house when we bought it about a year ago, we looked at the dining room floor. And when we first saw it, we're like, man, that is an awesome dining room floor. But now, we kind of have a love-hate relationship with it. Mainly hate. Why? Because we have a dark floor. It looks really cool, except after you eat on it. Because it shows everything. I mean, every spot of dirt is revealed by our floor. And so Jessica and I are really committed to having the floor look clean, so we sweep it at least twice a day, usually mop it. I mean, it is a lot of work to keep that floor clean. It reveals all the dirt, but we have to be committed to it because it gets messy a lot. We have two kids. But you know what? We're sinners, and our lives get messy a lot. And God's word highlights and reveals the dirt and the sin that's in our lives. Are you committed to responding to it? When God highlights that and shows it up, are you willing to clean it up? To actually follow through and deal with it? Or are you content to hide it and cover it up? And think, hey, no one is going to know about this. And you're afraid of God. Are you committed to confessing and forsaking your sin? Because that's when you're going to have mercy. Do you believe that? That's what God's word says. Or are you sitting here tonight and just saying, God, just leave me alone. I don't want to know if there's anything wrong with my life. I'm content. I don't want to clean it up. I'm good. Because guys, the Bible says that a true believer, they're going to change. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He gives you a new heart. True Christians have been given a new heart. They want Jesus Christ. Guys, if you refuse to confess, you shall not prosper. You have to respond to the truth of God's word because God is on your side. He's not against you. He's not fighting against you. He knows everything about you. You can't hide from him. He designed you. And guys, he's been involved in your life since before you were born. He's not ignoring you. He wants what's best for you. He sent Jesus Christ, his most precious gift, because he has precious thoughts towards you. Confess and forsake. Guys, even though God knows all of our flaws, he still has precious thoughts towards us. Father, we come to you and confess that we are faulty. Confess that we have sin. Confess that we need you. And Lord, I pray that you would work in hearts tonight, that you'd help us to be bold, that we'd stop hiding, that we'd confess our sin and be real. Lord, soften our hearts even now. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond. Christian, do you need to stop hiding tonight? You need to stop saying, God, just leave me alone. Because guys, it's pointless anyway. God sees it. He knows. Is there something you need to confess and forsake so that you can have mercy and forgiveness? I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond to that now. If you would like to, just go ahead and kneel down at your chair. Pray to the Lord. Confess that sin. Don't worry about what other people are thinking. Don't continue to wear a mask right now and think, hey, you know what, as long as I look good, I'm fine. If you're hiding sin, you will not prosper. We give a couple, about 30 seconds to pray. Get things right with God if you need to. Father, we thank you for your word, that it does reveal how we are not like you. But Lord, we thank you that we, as humans, will not be perfect, and even though you know our flaws, you know everything about us, you still love us, you still sent your most precious gift, Jesus Christ, to die in our place. And Lord, I pray as believers that we would stop hiding from you, that we would run to you so we can get mercy and forgiveness. Pray that you'd continue to work in hearts. I pray that you'd help us to be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Pray all these things in his name. Amen.